This morning, let's go in your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 4. Book of Acts, chapter 4. And we'll read from verse 32. Acts chapter 4 and verse 32. So this is the brand new church. This is just after the church was established on the day of Pentecost, and it's just taking off. And we see some interesting things there that I believe will be good for us to learn from. Verse 32. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. That means they were one in heart, but they also made some sacrifices to think alike. Yes. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. Now, I just want you to relax. I'm not going to take up an offering. That's not where we're going with this. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked. Isn't that a good thing?
Yes.
Boy, the church started out well. I think we should end better.
Amen.
Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had need. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, this morning early in my office, I just started reading there in the book of Proverbs. And it says something like this: if you instruct or teach a wise man, he will love you for it.
Yeah.
So I hope we have wise men and women here today.
Yes.
Because I believe the Lord has some instruction for us, some teaching, something that we can learn from. And what I want to focus on this morning is verse 36. It says, and Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, so the apostles changed his name. And they called him Barnabas, which is translated son of encouragement. Son of encouragement. I want to talk about the power of encouragement this morning. Now, it's something that I've never done before, but I believe we'll have some good things that we can learn from that. I checked out that word encouragement. It says it comes from an old French word that means to put courage into someone, to encourage someone. You encourage him, which means you add courage to that person.
Mm-hmm.
Or to make courage. Sometimes you just need to make some courage.
Yes.
If you don't have any, you got to make some.
Yeah.
You can't go through life without courage. And especially when you face some challenges or you're up against something that you feel is a little too big for you, you need to make some courage. I read in the Bible that David, some of the Psalms, he encouraged himself.
Yes.
There were times there was nobody around to do it for him. He had to do it himself.
Yes.
So, you know, we're big in the do-it-yourself business. And don't wait for someone to encourage you. But do you know that you have in your power the ability to change someone's life?
Amen.
This man, Barnabas, he was somebody that changed people's lives so much that they actually changed his name and called him son of encouragement, which actually means, the word bar actually means son of. Means your dad was an encourager. You are the son of an encourager. You're encouraged. And you pass that on to everybody else.
Amen.
Courage means mental or moral strength to persevere. To have the mental strength the moral or mental strength to persevere and withstand danger. That's what you need courage for. Or to come against fear or difficulty. I believe sometimes when things are difficult, people just check out. Yeah. Just because it's difficult.
Yeah.
You know, the Flemish people say, well, difficult can also be done. Even though it's difficult, you can still do it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So don't say, well, that's difficult. You know, I feel about people that say, well, that's difficult. I feel about them like I feel about lazy people. I feel discouraged when people all say, well, that's difficult. Difficult's not impossible.
No.
It can still be done, even though it may be a little difficult. All you need to do is make some courage.
Yes.
Right.
And get going.
Amen.
Now, the word encourage means, it's like the word enable. You enable somebody by making them able to do something. So when you encourage, you add courage to somebody to do something. It means to strengthen, to boost, to embolden. It also means to spur on. You spur somebody on. You spur him on to do something. We have to do that with our kids.
Yeah.
And they need it.
Yep.
They need it. And sometimes we have the power to secure their future by encouraging them in finding their purpose in life. And getting on with it, not waste their time on things that don't matter, but find something, pursue it, persevere, and win.
Amen.
It also means to stir up a gift or stir up some strength in somebody. There's another word that means that goes exhort. It's also a synonym for encourage, to exhort somebody. Exhort actually means it's a little stronger than encouragement. Sometimes you need to exhort somebody. If encouragement seems not to do it, then you exhort them. You add a little strength to your encouragement. Hebrews 10, verse 24, you don't have to go there. I'll just read it to you, and 25. It says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. So we are called, we're encouraged to stir each other up in love and good works. To love one another is, you know, is an instruction. It's not a choice that we have. Sometimes you gotta love people that are a little difficult to love. I always say, let's make it easy for people to love us. Encourage them to love you. But we need to stir each other up. And it says there, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. We need to stir each other up, encourage each other, not to forsake our assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. Way back in the beginning, they already had this thing that people had, just a habit of staying away from church. Just a habit. Bible says, no, we need to stir it up. We need to stir up love and good works and not to forsake our assembling of ourselves together. And then it says, but exhorting one another. Exhorting one another. So you look around today and you see somebody's not here. You have a job to do. You have some exhortation to do. Don't just ignore it. Don't just ignore it. I remember years ago when I first decided I was going to do something about God's call on my life. And I said, you know, and I was a little proud. And I said, well, yeah, I'll go, but I'm not going to Bible school. I'll go to university. And I went and backslid. Because theology is all education, it's all of the mind. And it became so cold and dead to me that while I studied, I stopped going to church. One day, and we'd been cold for a while. We'd been cold for a while. On a Saturday afternoon, I just finished working in the garden and put some meat on the barbecue. The pastor called. And he said, well, we have a youth rally tonight. Why don't you come? And wonder by wonder, I took that meat raw off the barbecue, and we went. That's the night where God picked me up. He exhorted me and changed my whole future by one telephone call. That's the power of encouragement. Why didn't you go? That's the meeting where I came back from being backslidden. One telephone call. You have no idea the power that you have in your hands to encourage somebody that you see is just growing cold, moving from the front of the church to the back and out the door. Or they begin to talk negatively, or they begin to criticize. You know you have some exhortation to do. You have some encouragement to do because you have in your power to save that person by just a word of encouragement. That's the power of encouragement. Well, let's move on. It says, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I don't know about you, but as I read the Bible and I watch the news, I see the day approaching fast, very fast, very fast. I'm amazed to see how things that the Bible spoke about thousands of years ago are falling into place right in front of our eyes. We see it happen. And now the Bible says, as we see the day approaching, we need to do more of that. We need to be more, we need to do more exhortation, we need to do more encouragement to people around us. Now, encouragement, of course, means to inspire or to motivate. You motivate somebody, or to support, or to give them hope. Sometimes some folks just need to receive some hope. When you had a few difficult times and you feel you lost a few battles, somebody needs to come around and encourage you. You know, it's easy to slip into an attitude of defeat and just live a life of defeat, while somebody next to you might just have the word that you need and give you hope, stir you up a little bit, and bring you back into what God wants you to be into. It means to make someone determined and confident. When you fail about something, the devil will use that to defeat you. And that's why we need to look around and see if somebody that we know, somebody close to us, needs some encouragement. Somebody had a bad day or a bad experience. They need somebody to come around, encourage them. Help them along. Add courage to them. Add some strength to them. Give them some hope so that they will win the battle. Not just sit down and say, well, this is where I lost it, and that's where I'll stay. No, you can pick it up again and run and win. We can win. We were born again to win, and we can win. I believe that encouragement can release some amazing potential. If we've just come around some people that we see, they don't seem like they're making it in life, come around to encourage them and release some potential that's inside of them. Potential is hidden talent. Yes. Potential is unused strength, hidden inside of us. It's there, but it's hidden. Encouragement will bring that out. Encouragement will take the cover off and say, well, you're not as bad as people say you are. You're not as bad as you think you are. You can make it. You can make it. Come with that encouragement and take the covers off and reveal some potential, hidden talents and strength that's hidden inside a person. Maybe hidden under layers and layers of difficult days and negative things that people spoke to you. We can take the covers off those things off and just bring that potential out and change a person's life that way. Encouragement is better than to command people. Now, we sometimes command our children. We come with a strict face, and sometimes they need it. But often, what they need is encouragement. When we come with a bit of a stern face and a negative attitude, and there may be some anger built in there somewhere as well, what we do is we get someone on the defense. Now we defend bad behavior. Now we defend bad behavior. Now we defend something that is maybe not a good thing at all. But when we come with encouragement, you come alongside that person and you bring them along with you. But to come with a strict command, all you do is you drive a wedge in there and you make it even more difficult for that person to come up and live out his full potential. I have seen the power of encouragement. I'll share with you just in a moment. It's the opposite of criticism. It's the opposite of criticism. I think sometimes when we see wrong behavior or bad behavior or just a defeatist attitude, is that we, before we address the person, is you think about how can I encourage that person instead of criticizing? How can I encourage that person? How can I bring it from a positive attitude, from a positive angle, and bring that person along, pull him out of that situation, and bring him along with me? Put some courage in there. But you know, when you come down on a person, you actually rob him of the little bit of courage that he still might have.
Yes.
Just gone. Now he feels, you know, everybody's criticizing me, and I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to make it. People call me names, and maybe they're right. Maybe they are right. I believe encouragement is always right. If you don't know what to do, you can never go wrong by encouraging someone. You can always do good by encouraging someone. Look out for somebody that needs a little bit of strength that you can add to it. We had a lady in the bank when I was working in my banking days. She worked in the archives of the bank. Now, the bank archive is not just a simple, it's not a filing job. It's much more than that. When somebody comes and look for a transaction that took place 3, 4, 5 years, you don't want to wait days for it. You want somebody to go in there, lay their finger on it, and bring it to you. It's a very specialized, highly technical area. And we had a woman that worked there in that area, and she was a bad employee. She did not perform at all. And I decided to encourage her to look for other work by not giving her salary increases. So her salary fell way behind everybody else's, and I thought one day she'll just find someone else who can pay more than that. Then the bank raised the minimum pay, and she was due for a huge increase, and I didn't want to give it to her. I just felt, well, you're not worth this money, but I had no choice. There was bank policy. I had to introduce her to a much higher pay scale. And she was going to get one very fat increase. So I thought, what I'll do is I'll use this as a way to encourage her. Instead of just telling her, look, the bank changed its policy and you're just a lucky recipient, I said, well, come here, I have something to share with you. I'm going to change your job. I'm going to put you in another department and give you a big increase. And she was the most hopeless person in that whole department. She changed overnight. She changed overnight. I could not believe she became one of the pillars of our department. Came in early without us even asking her. Left late. Worked overtime. Worked overtime without us even asking her. She changed overnight and steadily built herself to a place where she became one of the pillars that we felt we can't go without this woman. If she leaves now, we'll be in trouble. And now we started giving her better increases because we didn't want someone else to offer her more than we could. The power of encouragement.
Amen. Yes.
The tremendous power of encouragement changed her whole life, and we were blessed by it too. Because now we had someone that was valuable to us, meant something to us, made a huge contribution to the success of our department. The power of encouragement. You have it in your hands.
Yep.
There's somebody close to you that needs a little bit of that. Instead of saying, well, you know what, I can see this person is not going to make it. I can see this person is just getting colder and colder. And I would like to see where that's going to end. Well, you can change that by just coming along that person and add some courage. Just add some. Think about how you will address that person before you speak. Because sometimes our natural inclination is to come with a negative and put some criticism in there and see if we can maybe provoke the person to some action. No, usually it doesn't work that way. But if you come along and encourage that person, you might see a big change that you will be surprised. I believe we need to do that with our children. You know, in our families, a lot of good and bad can happen. You know that. There are children today that have tremendous potential on the inside of them. But they go out in life failures simply because they've never been encouraged at home. They've never been told, you know what, you have such a special gift inside of you that God wants to use not only to bless you, but bless those who will receive it from you. And stir it up. Find that gift and stir it up. And when difficult days come, don't come criticizing, but say, well, it's coming. We can do it. You can do it. Help that person along. Become a Barnabas. Boy, I tell you, we need some Barnabases in the kingdom.
Amen.
It's tough today to be a Christian. Sometimes when I see what's going on, you know, it discourages me when I read what, you know, the Christian news letters that we get, and I see what Christians are into. It's very discouraging. And in inside of us, the criticism rises. But sometimes we need, instead of offering criticism, offer some encouragement.
Amen.
Say, well, you know, you can do better than that. You can do better than that. You know, this is what the Bible says. We learned from our pastor that you always encourage people to do things. Don't instruct them. You encourage them to do things. I remember he was a great evangelist. Every Sunday we saw scores of people come to the Lord. Every Sunday. One day he told us, he said, well, I believe God gave me a gift. He says, I can preach on anything that you can think of and give an altar call and people will get saved. And indeed it was so. We saw it week after week. He says the key that I use is I encourage people to receive Jesus. I encourage them. Which is a little different from putting them out there where they feel, well, you know what, this person is criticizing me, he thinks I'm not a good person, whatever. Yeah, nobody's good. But we encourage them, we pull them closer, encourage them, receive the Lord. This is what he will do for you. He will change your life. Encourage them. And that's what he used. I always think of that when I'm in a situation like that. You encourage them to receive the Lord. My father was a pastor, and he was one of those. He would very seldom pass by any person. I remember when he was old already, and he had to see a doctor one day, and we were sitting in the waiting room, and there were some other people there, and I knew they're candidates. He's going to speak to them. And he went like this, because now they look at him. And they'll just say something, just something about the weather, something totally unrelated, and start a conversation. But he knew that the doctor might call that person into his room any moment. He knew that. And I was always surprised at how within a few sentences he would hook him. He would put the offer out and encourage that person to give their lives to the Lord. The tremendous power of encouragement. This Barnabas, he was such a person. He was such an encourager, they actually changed his name. His name was Joseph. They said, no, we think you need another name. We'll call you Barnabas. because you encourage everybody. I believe he was one of the pillars of the first church there. I have a few scriptures verses that I just want to read to you. Don't have to look it up. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1 says, "Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us, how you ought to walk and to please God." I exhort you. Abound more and more. Well, I guess they were doing better, but he says, well, you can do still more. You can find out how you can please God. Find out. I exhort you. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1. And Timothy was a young minister, and Paul was his mentor, sharing some things with him. He says, "Therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, and intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men." I exhort you. I encourage you. Pray for all men. Pray for people in high places. Pray for all men. I exhort you. He could have said, look, this is something that you got to do. And instruct him. He says, no, I exhort you. I exhort you. 1 Timothy 5, verse 1. It says, "Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father." That's different. Yeah. That's different. Well, you can rebuke an older man. You'll lose him. He's not going to take it from you. But if you exhort him, if you encourage him, oh, he'll take that. Because that'll challenge him. That'll be a challenge. Say, yes, I can do that. I can do that. And it says, younger men as brothers, which also means don't rebuke younger men. Exhort them as brothers. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2. Paul's teaching this young man. He says, "Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort." You can, he says, sometimes you need to rebuke. He says, but exhort also. Exhort. "With all longsuffering," which means patience. Longsuffering doesn't mean you're going to suffer long. It just means you've got to be patient. Titus, another young minister. 1 verse 7 to 9 says, "For a bishop," which means an overseer. We don't have bishops today. Anybody that's an overseer is a bishop. "For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed." That means not stubborn, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable. A lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convict those who contradict. So even when there's contradiction, we can exhort. This is the right way. You can do it. This is the way God wants us to do it. My father always told about this in the early days of the church in South Africa. He spoke about one of the early pioneers that he knew. He said when somebody messed up, he always said, "You know what? My Jesus would never do that. My Jesus would never do that." And exhort them. Say, well, this is how you follow Jesus. This is how you please God. Why don't you please him and see what he will do for you? Come along with encouragement. Encourage that person. Last one, Hebrews 3 and verse 13. "But exhort one another daily." Exhort one another daily. "While it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Sin deceives us. And hardens our hearts. Therefore, it says, we need to exhort one another daily. Come alongside some people daily and exhort them. Encourage them. Do you know that one telephone call can change a person's life?
Amen.
One telephone call. One email. One email can change a person's life. You will be surprised. If you begin to do that, You will be surprised to see how the testimonies come in. You will be surprised. I sometimes do that. You know, we have people all around the world that came through our Bible school, and sometimes, and some of you get that, I send out what I call eagle food. Because we raise eagles, not turkeys. Turkeys are made to be eaten. But eagles are made to soar. So we send out eagle food. We want them to soar. And every time I send something out, the testimonies come in. Little encouragement changes people.
Amen.
They say, you know, this is just what I've been waiting for. You have no idea how this exactly speaks to my situation. It just keeps on coming in. If you want to hear some good testimonies, become a Barnabas. And see how you can change people's lives. People like to hang around people that encourage.
Amen.
But they avoid people that criticize.
Yes.
Be an encourager. Sow some encouragement if you want to reap some encouragement. Last scripture, and that's in Acts chapter 11 and verse 18. Acts chapter 11. Acts 11, let's do from verse 19. You know, this is one of those interesting situations that Paul, when he was still Saul, persecuted the church, and he scattered them all over. They ran. And they took off and went to different places just to get away from Jerusalem where he was sowing havoc. Then Paul got saved and joined the people that were scattered, that preached Christ everywhere. Verse 19. Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all. He encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. He encouraged them. Verse 24, for he was a good man. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Because Barnabas showed up and encouraged people, a great many people came to the Lord. I sometimes feel about our Bible school, if I can raise one Paul, it'll be worth it all. Or one Peter. Of all those students that come, if I can raise just one Paul, somewhere in the world, the fruit will just come in, keep on pouring in and pouring in. You may be sitting next to a Paul. Mm-hmm. You may be sitting next to a Peter, Apostle Peter. You may be sitting next to someone that has so much on the inside. You have no clue who you're sitting next to. And all that person really needs is some encouragement to take off the cover and reveal that potential and see how things change.
Amen.
Barnabas was one of those. He encouraged them. He went there. And there was actually a little bit of trouble in the beginning, because when the church in Jerusalem found out that some people were preaching to the Gentiles, they were in trouble. They thought the gospel was only for the Jews. And that's why they sent Barnabas out to go check this thing out. What's going on? He got there and he saw all these Gentiles getting saved. And he encouraged them. And then more people came in. A great many people were added to the Lord. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. What a beautiful history. What a beautiful role one man played in that history.
Yes.
One man. Yes. I believe we have Barnabas here in this church.
Yes.
We just need to use what we have.
Yeah.
We just need to check one another. Mm-hmm. And when you see somebody needs, or somebody's going through a tough time, you have a ministry to do.
Amen.
The ministry of encouragement. And everyone has it. Everyone has it. There are some people that can use a lot of encouragement. There are some people that face some tough times that they don't see the light of day. Encouragement can change much of that.
Amen.
If you add courage to them, you'll be surprised to see how they can handle a tough situation, how they can handle a catastrophe when things go totally wrong. When courage is added, people get on top of things and change circumstances because people change. And we have that power in our own ability is to raise people up. Let's watch out for one another. Let's look out for one another and be the Barnabas of this church. Don't wait for the next person. Don't say, I'll call the pastor. Well, you can call us when there's a problem. We're available. But what about you?
Yeah.
I believe if you saw the problem, God showed it to you for a reason. He wants to use you.
Amen.
So that you can see the testimony that will come in, and that will encourage you again. Amen.
Amen.
It's not only for the pastor. That's everybody. Mm-hmm. Everybody in church can do that. I'm going to leave us with this word. This Barnabas was a good man. The Bible, why was he a good man? Because he encouraged everybody. He was a good man. People loved to be around him. He was a good man because he was an encourager. He was the son of encouragement. You want to be a good person? Encourage people. They will love you for it. They will look back and see how things changed and say, well, that's that day when that phone call was made. Just as I look back on a day when somebody called me and I say, that's the day when I ended my backsliding, was that day when my pastor called and changed my future. And I'm grateful till this day for that call. Amen.
Amen.
You have some calls to make. You need to change the way you speak to people, maybe. Maybe you need to look at people and say, well, you know what, things are wrong there, but that can change because I'm going to encourage that person and change things around.
Amen.
I'm going to add some courage to that person so he can get on top of his problem and win. It's in your hands to do that. You have colleagues, you have neighbors, you have friends, you have family that needs some encouragement. And you have the ability to change their lives.
Amen.
If you would just do that. Let's all stand. Father, we bless you this morning. We thank you, Lord, that your word instructs us. It shows us how to do things. Lord, we look at how Jesus walked the earth and sometimes encountered sinners and how we encouraged them. Never criticized them. Always encouraged them. Drew them to himself. Father, we learn from that. And this day we say we are wise people. We love instruction. We love to be taught. We love to see how things are done. Father, I thank you for the power of encouragement that every one of us has. Everyone has that ability. And I pray that this day it will be released to build up not only this church, but the lives of people all around us. Encourage them. As we see the day approaching, we have an urgency in our hearts to see people come to Jesus, to see people change their lives and follow him, become disciples. And I pray that you show every one of us how to be an encourager. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.